Good morning, church, and welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to this time of public worship. May we find it a time to adore God for his mighty acts, to give thanks for God's presence with us, to hear his word, and to offer our prayers and praise to God. I also hope that if you're visiting with us, that you will come again, and we would love to visit with you about joining to the life and fellowship of this particular church. Several announcements. Well, be sure to read the announcements that are in the bulletin. If you have not already done so, pass the ritual friendship pad down the pews. And if you are visiting, if you'll be sure to give us the information that's requested. A couple of bulletin inserts. Well, I didn't bring them with me, but I know one of them's blue. The blue one, I think, is for Wednesday night. Okay, well, thank you. Wednesday night live. In the January, February, March, we have a Wednesday night dinner, and this particular Wednesday night is the dinner. The evangelist committee will be providing dinner, but we'll certainly have the donation basket there to offset the cost of the dinner. But just come and enjoy, and this time particularly come and enjoy the program. I know many of you have talked about, when are we going to hear about Jimmy's trip to Italy and France? Well, guess when that's going to be? Wednesday night. So we're looking forward to that. And he's got his projector with his videos, and we'll try to have a microphone for him. or we'll get him to project as well as he makes the organ project. But we're certainly looking forward. But if you're planning on coming Wednesday night, if you would be sure and write your name on this piece of paper and stick it in the offering plate when it goes by. That will certainly help us so we don't make too much food. Although the good news is that when you do make too much food, often I'm the beneficiary of that. So we'll see. also, pardon me. Today, I think they're going to figure out by the end of the day who's going to be in the Super Bowl on February the 4th. And I know a few of you care about the Super Bowl, but what's really important on February the 4th is not the Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl. The S-O-U-P-E-R Bowl. Our children are working on their Super Bowl project this year, and on Super Bowl Sunday, I understand the youth will be at the doors of the church with their soup pots. And the idea is to collect your offerings, to collect canned goods, particularly baby formula. But Love Inc. can sure make money go a lot farther than a can of beans because they can buy food from the food bank. But they will be collecting your donations, and all the proceeds will go to Project Hope. So if you enjoy the Super Bowl, that's great. But I know you will enjoy helping out people with their food at the Super Bowl of Caring, or the Super Bowl of Caring event. Remind our session. How many session members do we have here today? A bunch of you. When you get home, you may curse me. I don't know. I sent you 5 sets of minutes. And so if you have the opportunity to read the minutes before the meeting, then we make the meeting go by a little quicker. Our annual congregational meeting will be next Sunday. We will pass out written reports as we've done in the past in order to shorten the length of the meeting and hear any questions that you might have. Are there other announcements that need to be made? I think Lisa has one.
And
And I believe there's some hot chocolate in there usually.
Oh, yeah.
And a tea. Okay. And a tea bag. Okay. One other announcement. Terry Morin. Oh, you've got one too. Terry. Don't let me forget to announce that on February the 2nd at 6 p.m. is the Cherished Blessings of Love in the Name of Christ. It will be in the Civic Center at 6 p.m. If you need a ticket to get in, I think Terry may be a contact person for that. Oh, we didn't really organize this, but yeah, okay. Okay, well, that's if you look in Westminster Hall, you see our booth that we are planning. Various churches, organizations prepare booths, and the items in the booth are auctioned. There is an auction along with the dinner. Carrie, do you have anything? Thank you. Just remember, Love Inc. is one of the more dynamic Christian organizations that care for people in the community. The president. Looks like Debbie and Jacob have something for us. Let us take a moment to prepare our hearts for the worship of Almighty God.
We see light, hope, and joy.
We bring heart, soul, mind, and body.
We share blessings and fears.
We bring faith and doubt.
With all that we are and all that we have, now the prayer of adoration. You are the rock of our salvation, O God, the source of our strength. You are the fountainhead from which flows living waters. When our souls thirst after righteousness, your justice sustains us. In need of encouragement, we behold your power and glory. We lift our hands in the sanctuary. With our lips, we praise you. We raise our voices in the company of believers and call on your name. Fill us now with your Holy Spirit and nourish us by your presence. Amen. Please be seated. We cannot flee from God, the psalmist reminds us, if we ascend to the highest height or if we dive to the lowest low. Still, God is with us, surrounding us with his love and mercy. We are safe then to make our confession in the midst of God's grace. Let us pray together. When we are weary, O God, give us bread for the journey. When we are complacent, O God, set a fire within us. When we are frightened, O God, put courage in our hearts and hands. When we are angry, O God, turn our anger into faithful response. When we are bewildered, O God, help us to see and follow you. When we stray, turn us around. When we fail, give us another chance. When we sin, forgive us and hear our silent prayer. Every morning is God's love for us, and so we are bold to proclaim the good news.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Seated. And may we honor God as we give to him his tithe and our offerings. God of our hope and salvation, your covenant names us, your grace sustains us, your chosen one calls us. And in our baptism, you set us apart. We pray that you will be with us. We are your people, called to minister and equipped through your mercy to perform deeds of compassion and love. Accept our offerings as tokens of our faithfulness, enhance their effectiveness in accordance with your will, and may all that we do be a clearer sign of our willingness to respond to the call of Christ, for we pray in his name. Amen. Please be seated.
Our prayer for illumination. God, source of all light, by your word you gave light to the soul. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and minds may be opened. Amen. Our Psalter today is one of my favorite types, and I will read the psalm, and then you respond, not verbally, but musically. I guess that's verbal, too. And the tune is Heiferdahl, which is one I think you'll find quite familiar. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before the word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. He got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."
Thank you. and she prayed that God would give her a child. And there in the temple, she was praying, probably kneeling. I'm not going to kneel, though, okay? Kind of hurts. But it was kneeling, and she was praying, but moving her lips. Like that. And the old priest Eli came out and saw Hannah, so his mother going, and he thought she had been drinking just a little bit too much. And he had scolded her, why would you come to the Lord's temple of this condition? And she said, no, I am praying that God will give me a son. And God answered her prayer, and Samuel was born. And it says this about Samuel. As he grew in stature and in favor with God and with God's people. Now with that in mind, I want to tell you a story. It's a story about three children. I told this before. One of the children's name is Abraham. The other one is Paul. And the third one is Esther. And they all had a wish. Abraham wanted to grow up and be a leader of people like the Abraham of the Old Testament. Maybe he would one day be a congressman or a president or lead a company. He wasn't sure. He wanted to be a great leader of people. Paul wanted to be a great preacher. I don't know why he didn't want to be Steve, but he wanted to be like Paul, the great preacher of the Old Testament. And Esther, she wanted to grow up to be beautiful, like Queen Esther of the Old Testament. But you can't believe everything you hear. So one day these children were down by the creek, and a very strange-looking man, long pointed beard, a robe, and a hat. I don't know, maybe one of those characters of Harry Potter or just a strange-looking man. And he told them, if you go outside and lay on the ground and watch the sky, and if you see a shooting star, have you seen a shooting star before?
Yeah.
Right straight across the sky. If you see a shooting star, you have 1 minute to ask whatever you want, and it will be granted. You know what those children did? They believed. They went out that night, they laid on the ground, took a blanket, looked up at the stars, and they looked, and looked. It wasn't a big night for me either. But they looked, and finally, Abraham was so hungry. He said this, just as the shooting star was going across, he said, I wish I had a donut. You know what happened? He got a donut. Esther was so mad that she put her hand on her hips and said, oh, Abraham, I wish you were a donut. Abraham, you're the donut. Paul, just in time when the minute was over, said, I wish that Abraham was Abraham again. And so it was all over for all the wishing. The children had a donut. And they lied up to me. And they went inside, and they went and asked somebody they trusted. What happened? Why didn't you get our wish? And he said, oh, Abraham, you will never be a great leader of people by simply wishing you're going to be a great leader of people. The only way to become a great leader of people is to study. Work. Study. What are you doing in school? Learn about people. Learn about history. Learn about the government that you come to, but also exercise to become strong. And oh, Paul, you will never become a great preacher. I just wish you to be a great preacher. Once again, study the Bible, study the great theologians, spend time in discipline and prayer. Yes, you will never be beautiful by just wishing. As a matter of fact, the most beautiful people in the world are the ones who serve God. Lord Jesus Christ, we do wish that things would be easier. We wish that we might be able to accomplish more. But we know, God, that by your blessing, we live in our life, we think of the lives of these children, and we
Our gospel reading today comes from John chapter 1. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Can anything come, anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from a grungy Irish guy in dirty clothes who's been hanging out by the river and wandering around a pub? Zach and I love to travel. We love exploring other cultures, trying their food, learning their history, listening to their music and stories, hearing their languages and accents. We always learn something when we travel. We learn how different we are from people in other places, how colorful this world really is with so many beautiful, diverse people and places, and how at the same time we're really all just alike. We're all humans, just humans with families and friends, with worries and hopes and beliefs, with daily routines, with things we like to do for fun. Over our years of traveling together, Zach and I have found that Mark Twain surely was right. He famously said, "Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness." Because when we travel, we discover things that surprise us. We discover things that we might never have found out if we never set foot outside of our doors. We find that there are good people beyond the ones we already know. Our hearts and minds move beyond the safe confines of the familiar and become open to something bigger than we imagined possible. So the grungy Irish guy. He was one of those people that opened my heart and mind when we traveled to Ireland a few summers ago. Now, I call him grungy only because of the way he appeared at first to me. Zach and I were traveling with friends, and our little group of four were visiting Limerick that day. It was afternoon, and we were starting to get hungry, and we needed a snack around that time. So we found this pub by the river. We could hear fiddles playing and the tap of Irish dancers coming from within that dimly lit building. It looked like there were more locals there than tourists. We thought, this is the place. We felt like you couldn't get too much more authentically Irish than this. So we went in. We placed our order. Then we went back outside to sit at the tables by the river. We were enjoying our meal and the atmosphere and good times with friends when all of a sudden we felt a presence among us, not one of our group of four. A man had come up to our table. He was not one of the restaurant workers. He wasn't one of the other pleasant-looking customers at the pub. He looked like a street person. His hair was long and lanky and in need of a good washing. He was wearing a Led Zeppelin t-shirt, and it and the rest of his clothes were dirty. His eyes had an unusual twitch, and his nose was mysteriously runny. I'll just leave that there. In that moment, he was not a very welcome addition to our party. I could feel the four of us in our group, and we were tensing up collectively. So I gripped the strap of my purse just a little bit tighter. And our friend's fancy new digital camera with the zoom lens had been lying on the tabletop, and the four of us started to eye it protectively. But in spite of our defensive nature in that moment, the guy seemed unfazed. In fact, he just started talking with us, and he was just as friendly and delightful as he could be. He asked about our travels, and he gave us some pretty good travel advice. He basically chatted with us like any of the other Irish locals would, and then just like that, he wandered away. The tension lifted from our group of friends, and we laughed a little. That wasn't so bad now, was it? In fact, it was kind of nice to chat with that guy. We were relieved, so we returned to our meal and our previous conversation, but soon our new friend was back. "I'd like to give you a blessing for travel in my language." Now, I hope it didn't show on my face at the time, but inwardly, I was rolling my eyes. "Your language," I thought. "We're in Ireland. Everybody's speaking English here, buddy." But meanwhile, the man was digging through his pockets, and he pulled out a tattered envelope to use. "Pension envelope," he said apologetically. He smiled and shrugged his shoulders, and he just wandered away again. He does a lot of wandering in this story. When he came back a little later, he proudly put the piece of paper down on the tabletop. In a neat, clear hand, he had written in that other official language of Ireland, Irish Gaelic. And shame on me for forgetting that they spoke more than just English in Ireland. His message said, "Go nairi an bohar lot." In English, it means, "May the journey be successful for you." Or, loosely translated, "May the road rise to meet you." And as a musician, I knew that familiar translation from choral anthems I'd heard before and sung before and played before. And then he wandered away again. And we sat in shocked silence. We had been so quick to judge him based on his appearance, but he was quick to give us a kind blessing. "Wow," the four of us murmured to each other. Zach spoke up then and said, "That was a really nice guy. We could at least buy him some food or something to drink or something." So we called him over again, and we thanked him for the Irish blessing he'd given us. We then made our offer of refreshment, but he shook his head firmly. He smiled and said, "No thanks," or more like, "No thanks. You don't need to do that. It costs nothing to be nice." And he went away from our table for the last time. It costs nothing to be nice. That's one of the best sermons I have ever heard in one sentence. I had misjudged him. I had been afraid of him and expected the worst of him. But he taught me that day. Now, if you were on the Associate Pastor Nominating Committee that brought me here, that story might sound familiar to you. I've used the Ireland story in a sermon before, but it was one about Mary and Martha. But when I was reading our gospel message for today from the book of John, I couldn't help but see that Irish man's face when Nathaniel asked, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Because that's a lot like what I thought when that messy, dirty-looking man first approached our table along the river in Limerick. Can anything good come from this person? And even though my story turned out well with a profound learning experience for me, it still makes me wonder, what if I had been more open to this stranger, less judgmental, less fearful? Would the experience have been even more awesome? Maybe Nathaniel felt skeptical too when Philip invited him to go meet Jesus. Can anything good come from Nazareth? The people of Israel had been waiting a long time for a Messiah. Teachers and rulers and leaders of movements had come and gone throughout history. And if somebody was going to be the real thing and rescue the Jewish people, then that person was going to have to be pretty impressive. Nazareth was not impressive. Nathaniel was about to discount Jesus. Jesus came from a tiny, unimpressive town with nothing regal or powerful about it. And Jesus might have looked unimpressive too, maybe a little rough around the edges himself. Nathaniel may have been ready to turn away when Philip urged him, "Come and see." But when Nathaniel did go and see, when he let down his guard and left his comfort zone, let go of all his preconceived notions, something incredible happened to him. Someone incredible happened to him. Nathaniel found someone who told him the most amazing things. Someone who saw him even before he arrived. Someone who promised that the very heavens would open up, breaking down the barriers between God and humans, and that we would see God at work in this world. Someone who declared that there were greater things to come. And greater things did happen for Nathanael. If we look toward the end of John's gospel, we find Nathanael again. He was on the seashore along with Simon Peter and those other disciples in the days after Jesus was crucified. Nathanael was there to witness yet another miracle as the disciples were fishing without much success. And there was this mysterious man out on the beach who told them to try putting their net on the other side of the boat. And then their net was teeming with fish. As the disciples strained to drag their heavy net full of fish along the shoreline, they saw that mysterious man again by a charcoal fire. Some fish were already grilling away, and there was bread too. "Bring some of those fish over here," he said. "Let's have breakfast." And then they knew who he was. He was Jesus Christ, their Lord, their friend and teacher, no longer dead, but alive. Would Nathanael ever have experienced something as amazing as this if he hadn't first gotten out from under that fig tree? I've heard that a fig tree can be a symbol for comfort and blessing, safety and peace, security. To stand under your own fig tree then was like being in your own comfort zone. It's good to feel comfortable. I love the coziness of a fluffy blanket and a soft chair, a warm cup of tea, some Netflix or a good book as much as anyone. But sometimes getting too comfortable in that bigger sense of the word can make us stagnant, limited, complacent, scared, even defensive. And then we miss out on the incredible adventure that God calls us to. We miss out on seeing the beauty of God's world and God's people. We miss living into all that God is calling us to be. We miss the fullness and abundance of life that God lays out before us so freely. I have to admit that, like that time in Ireland, I very nearly missed it this past Monday. It was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And schools and many offices had the day off. Even our church offices were closed to recognize the significance of the day. But I had to go to an event at 12. And what I really wanted to do was curl up on my couch with the previously mentioned soft blankie and relax. The only problem was, it was my event. I had planned it. I had encouraged the youth to get together for a service project in honor of Dr. King, and we were planning to go clean up one of the local parks with PAL, or Parks Advocacy League. But it would have been so much easier just to stay at home. In spite of how lazy I felt, however, I had to go help our youth. I'm always talking about mission and service and caring about our community. What kind of minister am I if I don't practice the things I literally preach? I just needed to be a grown-up and get out and do this. So I left my comfort zone and met the youth at the church parking lot. And I'm guessing from the look of their sleepy, bleary eyes, they might have felt the same way about going to work on their day off. But they showed up, and I did too. And we were about to go and meet God at work. Come and see. When we got to the park, it was the opposite of my experience with the Irish man in Limerick. Instead of seeing a rough exterior and making negative judgments, I saw a very pretty, newly constructed park. It was almost like they didn't need us to clean it. We'll only need to enjoy our picnic lunch, make a quick sweep of the area, and then we'll be done in a few minutes. Upon closer inspection, though, that park was filthy. There were some very unpleasant things hiding in the grass and dirt around the perimeter of the park. You can ask the youth what they were. Cigarette butts and plastic and random trash were around the picnic tables. And thank goodness for our sturdy work gloves. As we knelt down to get all of those hidden pieces of trash, I started to hear powerful, meaningful words from our youth. "I bet some kids just wasted their parents' money on all these drinks and snacks and then dumped their trash here. It's like they didn't even care," one youth said. "Oh, this is gross," another one said. "People should do better than this." And then perhaps my favorite response, "Unacceptable. This is unacceptable. I never want a little child walking around in this mess." And I couldn't agree with them more. With every bit of trash I picked up, I thought of my own little girl, Georgia, and all of the other children who might play in that park. If I had stayed home that day, if we had stayed home that day, I never would have gotten to hear such dynamic, prophetic words. I never would have gotten to spend time with our amazing youth and see them at work, making our community a better place. I would have missed seeing something incredible happen with our Westminster youth, the youth whom I think I am teaching, but who so often teach me. It starts with the invitation to come and see, and it continues with our decision to leave the safe confines of our fig trees and to let go of our fears and preconceived notions, because often it is in that moment that we meet Jesus. That's the moment we can be surprised and disarmed by our loving, persistent, graceful God. Being willing to come and see, though, is only part of the equation. The other part is to be seen. Do you remember when Jesus told Nathanael, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you"? Nathanael responded to that like he had just encountered a mind reader, a magician. The fact that Jesus was able to know Nathanael had been under a fig tree before Jesus even met him was enough to convince Nathanael that he had encountered the true Son of God, the real King of Israel. But I can imagine Jesus with a little smile tugging at the corners of his mouth. I think Nathanael was about to miss the point, like I often do. "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree?" Jesus asked him. "Oh, just you wait. You'll see greater things than these." Yes, we're called to come and see and find Jesus, who does incredible things and invites us to go with him on the adventure. But perhaps the even more important thing in this story is that we were seen first. Like the psalmist says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up." Jesus wasn't displaying his magic skills by saying, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Jesus, as God in the flesh, was doing that thing that God always does. Jesus was showing that God is always at the beginning. God knows us first. God sees us first. God calls to us first. God loves us first. And when we start from this understanding, we then become free to respond, to take risks, to step away from the safety nets, to live into the fullness of who God has created each of us to be. So what are we going to do in this upcoming week that's so new? There will be meetings, there will be opportunities, there will be conversations, there will be difficult things and exciting things that arise for us. Will we be willing to come and see? Will we be open and willing to move beyond what we think we know? As we step forward in our faith, or at the very least, as we step forth in curiosity, may we be delightfully surprised to find God there already waiting for us. God, the one who saw us first and loved us first, the one who can't wait to show us greater things than these. Amen. Now let us stand and affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed in our bulletins. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And now let us pray together. Loving God, we hear you. We hear your call through the people we meet, through the things we experience every day. The call is to come and see, to see you and what you're doing in this world, and you ask us to join you. Soften our hearts when we jump to unfair conclusions. Embolden our spirits when we feel afraid of the unknown. Inspire us to action when we feel lazy and complacent. Help us to answer your call. We thank you that as we journey with you, we know that you are already there, walking beside us, going before us, protecting us with your hand on our backs, and waiting for us at the goal. Cover us with your mercy and grace as we step out in faith this week following you. And we also ask for your care and healing for those among us who are ill in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for their comfort and recovery and for all those who care for them. May we be part of their healing as we reach out to them with your love. We pray, too, for these people and situations we lift to you now, with the church responding, Lord, hear our prayers. 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 And now with bold spirits, we pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you.
friends, let us go forth from this place with fearless and open hearts, knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us now and always. Amen.
Like,